Hey gang, I want to tell you about a very special event going on this Sunday, December 16th. It's On The Record. It's an ATX Music Marketplace and panel presented by Vinyl Monkey, Native Hostel, South by Southwest, and Austin Music Foundation. The event goes from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., I will be interviewing Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's, producer Frenchie Smith, and the legendary Lewis Black. Go to On The Record, an ATX Marketplace and panel this Sunday. December 16th, Native Hostels. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. My voice is gone, and I'm not feeling well. And here I am. I hope you guys all had a great week, whatever it is you did this week. I had a good week. I was in Miami at the beginning of the week. I went there last Saturday. I told you guys on the show, visiting family, got to spend time with my new nephew, AJ, my six brothers and sisters, my dad, my ex-stepmom, my current stepmom, aunts, uncles, cousins. It was very good. Unfortunately, my family is kind of my dad has kind of fallen out of favor with his brothers and sisters. And so that makes the trip a little different than it used to be when, you know, growing up my whole life, my dad's brothers and sisters all got together all the time. And sure, they gave each other a lot of shit and broke each other's balls a lot, but it was done with love and whatnot. And now they don't, you know, they just don't talk to my dad. So that makes it a little bit weird. To say the least. Anyway, it was a great trip. I got to spend some quality time with everyone I spent time with, even some old friends. One of my best friends from when I was a year and a half old, we got to hang out. Got to hang out with my old friend Christina from high school, and of course all of my family. So it was a great trip. And I booked this incredibly stupid 7-hour trip back that had to go from Miami to Charlotte, and then lay over in Charlotte for a few hours, and then fly back to Austin. And that was a bit of an extravaganza, and I think that might have been what left me sick, was all that flying. Anyway, here I am. I have an incredible show for you guys today. One of my dear friends and one of my favorite artists around, Jamie Harris, is on the show today. She's back. She has a brand new album out called Red Rescue that has been a long-awaited album. Long awaited debut album from Jamie Harris. And I have some good news. She has spent the last year doing incredible things, touring Europe and touring America and getting all these amazing opportunities. And now, as of just this last Friday, which is after we had this conversation, she is a Black Fret winner. So she won a Black Fret grant. She's doing great. I hope that you enjoy our conversation. I love Jamie Harris so much. She sang on my EP. We're great friends. She actually sang with my band last month in November, right after we did this. We actually did this the day after her record in store. So that's what we're talking about when the show comes in. And I just want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Sorry I'm sick. Hopefully I'll sound better on Tuesday's show. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Hope you guys all have a great week and enjoy my conversation with Jamie Harris. Let's get down.
In a depressive state, how long will I feel this way?
See what I'm saying? Red Rescue. It just made it a little more fun. Sorry.
I love it. You know, whatever it takes to get through the darkness, I'm all about it.
And also, I thought listening today, I wonder if like someone like Paxil is going to come to you about depressive state, about using it in their
commercials.
Yeah. Would you do that? Would you say yeah?
You know, I don't know. I mean, why would I not, right? I mean, there's money. Well, I don't know. I don't know, because really, I mean, a lot of my, I don't know. Paxil.
Yeah. Go Your Own Way. That Fleetwood Mac song is in some weird medicine commercial.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's a weird version of it.
Wow. I don't know. I mean,
is that a thing? Because we're from different generations. I'm from a generation where if you would have done that, no one would talk to you. But then 10 years later, everyone would want to be your friend. Because it right. changed like 18 years ago for some reason. It just all of a sudden like, hey, doing commercials is really cool. Because that's the only place anyone's going to hear your music.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather like, I don't know, Paxil. I've just been in alternative medicine for so long.
Yeah.
And I when I was a kid, I was kind of on all these medications, not for depression or anything, but for like migraines and all sorts of stuff. And it's taken a long time for my body to kind of come back from that. Like, still just have a lot of health issues. And I don't know. I don't know what I'd do.
How do you handle depression? Because you suffer from
not
it, right?
Not very well. I mean, I've never been medicated for it. I'm like afraid of it. But
afraid of medication?
I am. I'm afraid of it. I mean, I see it being, I know people where it's really, really helped them.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah, me too.
And completely changed their lives. But I think I just have probably like an unrealistic fear of taking medication. But you know what? It's probably, I know, I mean, I'm not in therapy right now, and
you're
that's
not.
Coming. No, I got to get into some therapy. And
well, let me ask you this. You've been on nonstop tour. And
right.
I find that I am always one step ahead of depression if I'm one step behind in my work trying to catch up, and I'm so busy that I don't really even have time to acknowledge the fact that I am depressed. I mean, a lot of people do. I mean, it's called workaholic. You're
right.
Running from a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, I
mean, when you're doing that, when you're out on the road, like how, I mean.
Well, you
you're
know.
You're doing what you love every single night.
Exactly. And it's been great. But I did have this experience where in the Netherlands, I got hit with just a mini episode, like 4 days of it. And,
what happens when that happens?
What I want to do is to hide away from everything because I have this feeling like nothing I'm doing is right. I have a hard time speaking in complete sentences. Everything is magnified and I have a hard time discerning reality. Like when I sing in that song, like, you know, and not someone that everyone hates, when I'm in that vibe, I just feel like everything,
I just
feel like being around me is worse. And sometimes this feeling that maybe going out and like seeing my friends or maybe playing or something will help. But sometimes I just have this like, I don't know. I really struggled in the Netherlands because out there, you know, I've been singing with Mary, which has been wonderful. And I'm opening the shows and I'm opening the shows solo. And with the band, if I'm playing a show, having to work like that when I'm depressed, we can kind of go song to song and I can limit the time I have to talk in between songs, or I can kind of put glasses on and not make direct eye contact with people and sing through it and push through it. But with an acoustic show, I feel like the story, especially for a folk singer, like the stories are important and connecting with the audience each night is really important. And if I'm having trouble speaking in complete sentences, or if I feel like I'm not doing my best and I feel like they feel it, it can kind of send me into a dark It can throw me
spiral,
off.
Spiral
and I felt
down.
Like I just had 3 or 4 shows where I just couldn't click into it, which then made it worse. And then I'm like questioning everything. Like, what am I doing? Like, am I supposed to be doing this? Should I just be a background singer? Like all the things that are kind that I think about kind of anyways, like, am I doing this correctly? Or what can I do to improve my show? Or all the doubts I think that we already have as right. artists get magnified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally does. Yeah. Totally does. So how did you get out of it then? Like in the Netherlands, what, you just woke up one day and you felt better?
Yeah. It's like, I had this, just this moment where I broke and I just cried for like hours and hours and hours and all through the
your
night.
Fever breaking or something.
It's, isn't it weird? Yeah. Yeah. And I just feel like I let it out and then it got better. Like the next day was a little bit better. And then the next day, and then I finally felt myself like returning.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I feel like I need some other tools. Like I kind of feel like the episodes are becoming a little more frequent than they have been in my life's history, and I'm gonna definitely get into therapy to try to figure out some things that just I'm struggling with personally and accept help.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time.
There's people that love you and they're here for you.
Yeah.
How do you say Mary's last name?
Gaucher. Yeah.
Okay. Mary Gaucher.
Yeah.
She's, I went through and started listening to her stuff. She's really good.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, man. She's amazing.
She's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
You learning, do you feel like you've been able to play with people that you look up to and sing with these people that you look up to, and when you're up there doing that, like what do you get from Mary?
Oh, well, so many things. touring with Mary, first of all, I haven't done much touring. You know, I've done a couple dates here or kind of like some more like house show touring, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But not, these are like theaters,
these
right?
are, yeah. Well, in the Netherlands, we did 2 weeks of theaters. And I'm learning a lot about, oh, man. She's such an incredible songwriter. And this record that she's touring right now is a record that she's co-written with veterans and their families.
Right. You were saying that yesterday at the In Store.
Yeah. And so I feel like I've already kind of felt this before I met Mary, actually, but I'm proud of the record I made, and I'm not sick of the songs, and I believe in the songs that I write. But I think with the weight of the world and just like everything that's going on in the world, I kind of have had this desire to write something that's a lot bigger than me, and it's not necessarily about me. I mean, I do think that I can tap into the universal experience by sharing what I've gone through and telling my own stories. And just watching her do that every night, and she's got such, I mean, she's put out 9 records, so pulling stuff from different catalogs, it's just mind-blowing to me. And learning how to work together in a way, like Mary will do something different vocally every night depending on what she feels like the energy of the show needs to be. Because for a long time, she traveled solo. And
she reads a crowd every night.
She reads a crowd every night, and she nails it. And when
Michaela
had to be along for the ride.
She probably keeps it fresh for her, too.
Yeah, she's been on the road constantly for a year.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm learning... even just other stuff, like, you know, Mary has a lot of professional experience and business experience. And that's something that especially since I haven't had to deal with, like not having a record,
right,
that I'm learning a little bit about the actual business,
right,
and how things work and unfold. And
firsthand. Yeah. Okay. So Red Rescue is an amazing record.
Oh, thank you.
And it's your first record, which was we've been talking about since you first came on here.
Yeah, I know.
Years ago. And now it's actually a thing we can talk about and reference that people can know what we're actually talking about. It's not just like a theoretical thing that we're talking about.
I know.
And I know that you spent a lot of time on this record. You put a lot... Who let me backtrack a little bit. I saw your in-store yesterday at Waterloo, and I was once again reaffirmed that that band is so perfect for you. It's yeah. like you have a band. Like,
yeah.
It could have a name, and it would make a lot of sense, because that's a real band. Yeah. Everyone, John Green, Brian Patterson, Sila Misra, and Chris Nelson.
Yeah.
Creels. and you. What an amazing band. And I'll tell you this one thing. You were not depressed yesterday. You were beaming when you were playing. Like, you were so happy to be there.
I was so happy to be there. Yeah. I mean, I was really thinking about it before we went on, that when I was a kid, you know, one of the kind of my gateway to the world was like No Depression and Waterloo Records.
Yeah, yeah.
And John reminded me last night, he said, you know, I read your bio on your website that, you know, your dad spent all the money he was going to use on a hotel for CDs. And that's when you started writing songs, which is true, because I went to the first Austin City Limits Music Festival, and that was the first time I saw Patty Griffin and Emmylou Harris and Buddy Miller. And it was like, what is this? Like, it just really blew my brain apart. And John said, you know, Waterloo hosts that tent. Like, that's our little shop there. I said, oh man, that's really cool. I didn't make that connection. But yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, without my parents knowing, I would drive down to Austin and just like eat at Kirby Lane on campus. Because I didn't know anything. I just thought like Kirby Lane. I mean, I still eat it. Actually, I had Kirby Lane last night, but I ate there a lot. But then
at that campus one?
No.
Okay, because I'm not a fan of
Lamar.
That one.
No. Yeah.
No offense, Kirby Lane. We love you.
No, they have great gluten-free pancakes. But
you ever go to Kirby Lane on Kirby Lane?
It's been a long time.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
It's been a long time. But I would drive down and I would go see in stores there and buy records there. And it really helped to inform, to inform me and inspire me, like being able to see all of those artists in that store. So kind of before we went on, I had this rush of like, oh my gosh, like I have a record and Waterloo is selling it, because it was such an important part of my education, that place.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're on the other side. There were people that came to see you.
Yeah.
There were people that took time out of their, like, just like you did. And you were on the other side this time. They were there for you.
I can't wrap my mind around it.
What a great thing.
I just love you.
I was so happy. And you're just so great, too. You are not an overrated artist by any means.
Oh, thank you.
You are so, so amazing. And the record is so amazing. So speaking about that band, is that the band that played on the album?
Yeah, for the most part. So Brian played guitar and he played piano. So okay. that last song that we did, Brian helped me write it basically in the studio and on piano. And Bonnie Whitmore played bass on a lot of the record, but Chris also played and sang. And we had Sila in on there, and then John Green, of course, and Mike Hardwick played on two tracks. Betty
you know
Sue
what?
Sang, okay. And
I actually know what he played on.
Yeah, he played on Forever.
Because he played Slide, right?
Yeah, on Forever, and then he played on Hurts As Good As It Feels. He played Pedal Steel.
Yeah, and he's great.
And Craig played all over it. Too and saying
there's those dreamy Craigisms.
Absolutely.
Did you have you ever heard his older stuff, like Dead Spy Report and
I
stuff
have
like that? I didn't buy that shit off of eBay. I'm serious.
Yeah, Sila and John when we were looking for somebody recommended Craig, and I knew the work he'd done with Patty, but I wasn't aware of the Dead Spy Report thing until they turned me on to it.
20 years ago, I went on this writing trip to Los Angeles, like not long after that record came out, and it was my favorite album. And I knew Craig from when he was even in this band, Stick People.
Yeah.
And always was just, I loved him. I loved his playing, and I loved he's real weird. And I always laughed. Like there's some people that, you know what I mean? Like, there's this guy, David Bearwald. People find he's weird, but I just think he's the funniest guy in the world. So anyway, I wrote with all these people, and as a gift, like, to everyone when I left, I went to the store and bought all the Craig Ross all the Craig Ross Dead Spy reports on and gave them to people, because I'd be like, oh, do you guys know this guy? And be like, no, I don't know this guy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, his musicality is, and his whatever it is that's inside of him musically that's coming out is always amazing and very pleasing.
Amazing. And I mean, we worked on this record for a long time, so we tried out a lot of different things, and to watch him explore what we could do,
yeah,
with all the songs. It was really incredible, and it really strengthened my confidence as a songwriter in a way, because I was thinking, like, I didn't know that my song could do this or this.
Right.
And it changed the way that I've written, too. Because as we worked together, and as the last song for the record that came together was a song that Craig and I co-wrote together. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, but I've never heard my vocal be the lead vocal recorded.
Right.
And there are things that I've, like, shied away from in my writing that I think I won't now. Like, I have this, like I was talking about earlier,
that's
like
funny.
Learning.
You found your voice in a way.
I do feel like that. And there are things where, I mean, there's a lot of things that I can do with my voice that I don't in my own writing, mm-hmm, because I'm like, I don't want to be show-offy, or it's probably not going to serve the meaning of this song or the purpose of this song. And now I want to try to explore that more.
Okay.
I really want to.
Because that's one of the things I appreciate about you. It's not about your whatever the technicality.
It's not like, here I am, and I'm doing all these runs, and I'm yelling at everything at Tim, because I don't like that. I don't respond to that when an artist does that,
right,
you know? But I think it would be
you're good at delivering the story.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think that, and you do it real clearly. You don't. There's not a lot of
right.
Mariah Carey, Christina, Aguilera.
Yeah,
yeah. So so you had all those guys, and then Mark Hallman mixed it.
Mark Hallman mixed it. Yeah, mastered it.
Yeah, he's an amazing dude.
I love Mark Hallman.
What did he bring out of the album, do you feel?
You know, Mark is like, Mark was a fan, you know, like Craig and I, didn't really know each other. So we came into it and explored. I just gave him a Dropbox of every song I'd ever written and everything we were doing with the band. And we explored it, and it was great to have a super objective, perspective. And then having Mark come in there at the end was great, because he just knows what our live show is like in a way, and I think was able to kind of marry the two. And it was just exciting to bring him onto the project because I love him so much.
Yeah.
And
he really does love you and is crazy about your talent and your music.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah. For those of you that might not know, Jamie sang backup on my EP that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was exciting. And we wrote a song on there together.
We did,
I think they played it on the radio yesterday.
I heard it on the radio yesterday.
You
I think did? It was Jody, yeah.
Look at that.
No, you know what? It wasn't that song. It was a different song.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember which one it was, but I remember...
Trying to cut you out of the publishing.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, but I was at my friend's house and I was like, I sang on this song and it's on the radio. Like, I felt like I was just in this like Austin High yesterday. Like, oh my gosh, like I used to drive here to learn from my heroes and listen to KUTX or KUT back then, or you know, or KGSR, you know, and like, wow, like Jody Denberg, I heard, played one of my songs today, and I got to play at Waterloo Records. Like, it's like, what's happening?
It's all happening.
I feel I'm still so blown away by it. I don't even know.
But you've been singing on a lot of people's stuff.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You are on a lot of records.
That's true.
That have come out in the last like year or two.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Aren't you? You're on the Western Youth.
I'm on the Western Youth record, and I love those guys.
You love those
and
guys.
I love that record.
I love those guys too.
And another one of my favorites that I sang on this year is this guy from North Carolina. His name is Wes Collins. Have you heard of him?
No.
You've got to check him out.
What else did you sang on something else somebody told me.
I sang on Teddy Long's record that's not out yet.
That guy. You sing on Planks?
I did not sing on Planks. Hmm. No. Patty Griffin sang on Plank's record, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a badass.
She's running around singing on people's records.
I miss Plank.
I miss Plank, too. Where is he? What happened?
I think he's in Montana right now, but he has been touring a lot, too. So we haven't been in town at the same time for a long time.
I played a show with him recently. It was real fun.
He
was dressed as a weird person. And it was Halloween. It was his Halloween show.
Oh, yeah. The Plankenstein.
Yeah, it was great. All right. So what... Okay, so you put out the record. You've done this touring with Mary, and now where? Now what?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out because I really want to put out another record sooner than later, and I'm trying to figure out how I want to approach it. Like, do I want to do, since I'm doing a lot of solo touring, do I want to now do a solo record with like really minimal production, or do I? And do I really want to specifically write for it? Because I feel like if I do a solo record and it's 10 songs, every song just has to be fucking great. You know?
Every song on your last record is great.
Thank you. Thank you. But I do feel like, I mean, as far as the most near future.
No, I know what you mean.
What I want to do is really, I just feel like I need to turn the dial a little bit on my writing. I feel this need to kind of step back and really improve. And I'd also want to pick up an electric guitar.
Uh-oh.
And learn how to really play lead and to accompany other people and to see how that expands my writing. But I feel like, even though I just quit my day job this year, you know, and this is like the first real touring I've done, because I've been out on the road some, I feel like I'm able to now see, okay, like here are some holes in my knowledge or here are things I really want to improve on. And I feel like earlier next year, I might have the opportunity to kind of slow down for a second and really improve my skills so that I can turn the dial again. Okay. I just want to be a better artist. I'm on that journey.
When you're not that you're backing away from writing more personal songs, but you're basically saying that like there's a lot going on. What are your latest songs about? Like what issues are you feeling you need to tackle?
Well, I mean, I haven't been writing a lot lately, but I went through this period in March and April where I wrote like 7 songs. And I mean, once Mary and I got together, we were separated for a lot of the first 4 months of our relationship because we were touring in different places.
How did that happen?
How did we get together?
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of a long story, but we met in Taos, New Mexico at Eliza's house, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
And and we just stayed in touch for a long time. And I, not super frequently, though. And we just every once in a while, she would ask me what was going on with the record and how it was coming along and if I had any questions. And we just stayed in touch. And then all of a sudden, I called her she called me after she got off the road in March. And I had some questions for her. And so I called her back. And it was Towns Van Zandt's birthday. I remember that, March 7th. And we just had this super 100% business conversation. And I hung up the phone and it was like I got knifed in my gut. I was like, oh my God, I have feelings for her. Oh
yeah.
No. And then I and then I was like, don't have feelings for her. You can't do that. Like,
yeah.
don't be that way.
Yeah.
And then we just stayed in touch and it unfolded.
It unfolded, didn't it?
It did.
You were, I remember, I don't know, I can't remember when it was that I saw you, but you were like ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you.
I know.
I think that's great.
So happy. Thank you.
So touring together has gone well?
Oh, it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful.
You get along?
And, oh, yeah. I mean, we trip over some stuff like I think anyone would if you're spending 24/7 together for months and months and months. But, I mean, I've been kind of a lone wolf for a long time, too. So it's all a learning experience for me. I'm learning. This year, it's just been like, I feel like every piece of my life has changed this year.
And it has.
I'm just growing and growing and growing, and I'm so grateful. But it's been so great to be together because we had all that time of separation in the beginning.
Yeah.
It makes us so appreciate the time we have together.
Well, what happens now? Are you home for a while, and where's she going to go?
Yeah, I'm home for 3 weeks, and she's in Nashville for a week, and then she's on the West Coast. And then we come back together and do some dates at the end of December, or in the middle of December.
Okay.
Yeah. But during the time when we were apart, we were writing each other these love songs.
Oh, that's cool.
And sending them to each other. So I have, like, these, I know they're, like, happy songs, which is pretty new for me. Like, oh, I know, like, truly.
Those are,
like,
always embarrassing when you're playing them for someone. You're like, oh, man, I mean, this is just the way I feel. I'm sorry.
I know, but it was exciting. And I think because we had that distance, it was just like,
yeah.
Oh, this is all I can think about. Let me work through it in the only way I know how. And I've worked through, you know, so many dark things with songwriting, but this is the first time I've really been inspired in moments of intense joy. I mean, I've never been this happy. I mean, I'm so joyful and I'm so excited and I love her so much. And so to be able to work through those intense feelings through my guitar and through writing is like a whole new experience.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
That's amazing.
So who knows? Maybe the next record will be love songs. I don't know. I feel like I have so much material. Like, I mean, I had so many years of writing before we even made Red Rescue and all of this new stuff that I've got a lot to choose from, which is a good thing. But
that doesn't have to all be happy love songs.
No. No, I've got this song I actually wrote at the songwriting workshop when I went, that was taught by Eliza and Mary and Gretchen, and it's a song called On the Surface, and it's kind of the closest thing to a sociopolitical song I've written.
Do you feel like there's more of that in you? I mean, those feelings are there in you.
I do.
Yeah.
But I want to be, I don't want to be preachy, obviously.
Right, right, right.
And I want to find a way to tap into that universal. And I feel like story is such a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's going to be. Exactly.
Because the story, yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be my story. So if I'm going to sing about something that I feel, I mean, I can sing about, you know, the criminal justice system, which I believe is in desperate need of reform because I've been directly affected by it, you know, and I can see how poverty being linked to the criminal justice system is a bad cycle.
Yeah.
And so, and I see so many people that are trapped in it. Like, The other day I had to get a new driver's license, and I went through all this, you know, trouble at the driver's license because I had to, like, they wanted a bank statement, but I had to have this URL on it, but you have to download this PDF, like all that shit you go through when you go there. And I had to get a new driver's license because my address had changed. And it's like, you know, if I don't get this done today on the one or two days that I have off, like, and I get pulled over and my driver's license has the wrong address on it, mm-hmm. I can go to jail. And that will be my third arrest.
Three strikes.
And that means I'm a felon and I lose my right to vote. I mean, isn't that insane?
Yeah, it's totally.
It's a little insane.
Yeah.
So I feel like
that was a great moment yesterday at the in-store when you were like, I wrote this song when I got out of jail.
Yeah. yeah.
So what were your jailings? DWI?
DWI.
Both?
DWI, both.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fuck.
I know. Both.
I had one once.
You did?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
8 years ago. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, you know, I wasn't drunk. It was dismissed, but you still pay all that money. It's still on your it's still a thing. It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And the first time I got arrested, it was a Tuesday. And getting arrested on a Tuesday and getting arrested on a Friday, those are different experiences.
Really?
All in itself. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's just much more crowded on the weekends, and you're dealing with crazier shit.
On the weekend?
On the weekend.
Then mine was a Friday.
Yours was a Friday. Yeah.
I had to make it to Mucky Duck the next day for show.
Yeah, no one was picking up my phone calls the second time I was in jail. And I was supposed to have a gig with Five and Dime, that band I was in with Ellen O'Meara and Darwin Smith. Do you ever know about that?
No. Maybe you told me about it, but I didn't see that band.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And we were supposed to have a gig, and I didn't show up for rehearsal that day. And so Ellen figured out that I was in jail and bailed me out eventually.
How are you in your sobriety? Are you confident now? Are you feeling... No, I don't mean confident like cocky. Yeah. I know there's no point where you're like, I beat it. Are you feeling, you know what I mean? At some point it's less raw. It's less, everything is less super intense and you're able to sort of like.
Yeah, I don't know because, I just try to, you know, I have to think about it every day. I mean, I have to do something every day that's directly related to my sobriety, whether it's helping someone or meditating or reading something out of the book or praying, because who knows? I mean, I had a moment in November last year where I was on a plane and all of a sudden this thought came out of nowhere that was like, you know, you're on a plane, like you're alone. No one would see if you had something to drink. Like you could just have one drink. And I know me, I can't have one drink. Like I have 50,000 drinks if I have one drink, you know, yeah, and it doesn't stop. And it was almost like it came out of nowhere. So I just have to stay on top of it and be so conscious of it because my brain is fucked. I can't trust my brain.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny because even in your songs, the only song that you and you do it a bit in the song is refer to God, refer to passages in the Bible and stuff is in the in Snow White Knuckles,
right?
Which I found interesting because I don't see you as a super religious person, but it seems like if you hit a wall at some point, you're like, all right, where are you?
Right, exactly. You know, well, I grew up I grew up in the Baptist church. Yeah. And that's where I learned to sing.
Yeah.
You know, and my grandparents were really involved in the church and I love my grandparents. I read my grandmother's obituary recently. She passed away in February of 2016 and I forgot that she was a deacon. And there and the church that she was in like kind of an old school church in Waco. And I remember, oh, that's really awesome. We're going to have female deacons, you know. But I grew up, religious in a way. I was really involved in the church. That's how Brian Patterson and I met. We grew up in the same church, you know.
Like, when you said that yesterday, he's like, he's from my same hometown. He was just kind of all cool, like in his leather jacket. It all just went out the window.
I know.
He's from the suburbs of Waco.
There you go, bro. I know.
I love that dude, man. That guy is just, he is a talented cat, man.
I love him too. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's always been a part of my life.
Yeah.
And I've always just gone through so much in my life where I personally know that whatever is going on is so beyond me. And I trust in that. I trust that there's something beyond me. Go ahead.
Do you follow a program?
Like in recovery?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm in a program.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
You never knew that?
No. I guess I never asked. I'm not a very good friend, am I?
Well, I think you're a great friend. You know, I was thinking today on my way over here how thoughtful you are. Like, do you want me to put on coffee? Like, I think you're quite nurturing and really thoughtful.
Thank you. You know what? My friend Ian Moore, is he your friend too?
You know, I've never met him.
You never have? You guys should meet. You guys will like each other. He. We've known each other since we were teenagers. And he says, the older I get, the more I become an old Cuban woman. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
What, do you need coffee? Oh, and then I'm Jewish as well.
Oh, awesome. Have you seen Marble Columns?
No, what's that?
This is SNL skit. That's Fred Armisen. You got to see it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, the, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's so wonderful.
You get them in your yard and like, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. I love those.
It's great.
You were in New York. How was that?
New York was amazing. How were your travels?
Did you see beautiful things? Did you experience new foods?
Oh, yeah. Well, in the Netherlands, we got to go to this Van Gogh Museum that's in the National Park there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like fall, so you drive in. There are these just trees everywhere on either side. And, you know, being a Texan, I haven't seen very much of like fall.
Right, you know? Right.
You go in and it's this amazing collection of Van Gogh. And it starts with his really early work. And you kind of see him come into his voice.
Yeah.
You know, like we have writer's voice. Yeah, I don't know what the art equivalent is.
Yeah.
And there are guards there, but it's not super hardcore. So right. You can get really close to the painting and then back away. And I never seen Van Gogh in person. And it blew me away.
Is he one of your
favorites? I can't wait to go back.
Too?
It was amazing. I mean, I just was so...
Is that that's in Amsterdam, right?
Well, there is one in Amsterdam, but this
okay,
one
that's
is in,
the one I've
is
been
in
to.
A national park.
Okay, I didn't go to the next. Did you go to Amsterdam?
We did. We played a show at a church in Amsterdam, but we didn't get to stay in Amsterdam, so I didn't get to explore it.
I spent a week there. One.
You did? You know?
You know who was there with me? Sean Crooks, bass player in our band.
Yeah. I love Sean.
Yeah.
I like to explore that, but the Van Gogh thing, it just blew me away. I mean, it was like seeing the tree, and you're like, I think that's how a tree feels.
Yeah,
you like you feel it in this really powerful way.
Yeah,
and what he died with, like next to nothing, right?
Yeah, all
struggling, you know, like all those, yeah, right, like struggling artist.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
he was also a pretty dramatic cat.
Dramatic, is that what you said? Yeah, with the ear and everything. Yeah.
So, but some would call that like psycho at this point. But yeah, he was a dramatic guy. He had a flair for the dramatic.
He was an artist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like even I know this sounds weird because I don't talk about this stuff very much, but even his brushstrokes are super intense. Like,
absolutely. Well, I mean, being able to see how much paint.
Yeah. I mean, there's an intensity to his. There's no softness. It's like it's. The closer you are to those paintings, the more you're like, whoa, shit. This guy's fucking intense.
Intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it, though. I really, I loved it. It did something to me. And then in New York, the first day we arrived, we went and saw the dinner party, the Judy Chicago thing. You know about this?
No.
Judy Chicago is this like badass feminist artist. And she created this exhibit, I guess, I don't know, art installation, and it's a triangle. So one is like kind of like prehistory, like goddesses and all sorts of things. And then it goes into current history. I think the last plate is Georgia O'Keeffe, but there are all these place settings of women that have been ignored throughout history. And then on top of that, the whole thing is set on white tiles, and there are 999 names of women written that history has ignored. And you can go through each one and read about the plate and who the woman was and what they did. And it's that blew me away too, and it completely. So just being able to see art and also, you know, being in Italy and the Netherlands and hearing how much people over there are concerned about America.
Yeah.
It was really
I watched
intense.
This thing last night with it's just I don't even like I'm sorry I'm laughing.
No,
I am
okay.
laughing cuz it's just it's he was talking about this fire thing and how like who was it like the Finnish was it the Finn in Finland they rake the leaves or something.
Oh really? Oh god.
And it was like, are you seriously standing in this rubble and saying, like, if you guys raked more, we would have these fires?
What a dick. Oh, my
God.
Yeah,
I don't. It's pretty. He's pretty weird, man.
He's pretty weird.
He is. He's real weird.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary to me. And it's scary just to see that it's these kind of. Sadly,
it's
I mean.
Because if you think about it, just like stop for a second and go. literally that dude from The Apprentice.
I know.
Is the president of the United States. Like,
what
else? It wouldn't be different. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not. This is exactly what that would be like if that guy, like, if we go back like 5 years and go like, hey, what if that guy that hosted this show and he was president? It would be like, it would be really weird. It'd be a strange world. Yeah,
I can't.
It's an odd thing, and people are kind of just feeding themselves. You can feed yourself what you want to hear.
Absolutely right.
You know, and you can. I mean, my dad is like all off in Alex Jones. Like, he was he was telling me when I told him about, you know, it flooded here and we had to do bottled water and all this stuff. So right. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to go boiling my water. He's like, oh, you should boil your water anyway, because, and he goes off in this thing where the Democrats are trying to kill off the population by poisoning the water so that there'll be more Democrats. And then all I could think was like, Dad, how does the water know what you're like?
Like,
How do you know when you poison them? That's so off, because they're just like, Dad, that doesn't even, that's not even a real thing. Like, there's no way that would work in the way that you think it is. Like, you're so far off thinking that this outlandish shit is happening when he lives in Miami and he doesn't think there's global warming and he's going to be flooded, you know, at some point soon.
Right.
It's maddening, kind of, isn't it? It's that mindset that's maddening.
And to me, to be in Europe and know that over there, they're like, man, we receive more of American news than we do of our own. Like, you know, they're aware of what's going on. And, you know, fascism is rising all over the world.
I saw a thing about that with John Oliver.
Oh.
That's where I'm learning my stuff from comedians, which is even sadder. It's weird. I mean, it's good, but it's weird.
It's interesting, right? But, you know, like the guy in Brazil, and just, it's...
Yeah, they just got that guy. He's a bad dude.
Oh, my God. So, to just think about how it's really all connected, and how it affects the rest of the world.
Yeah.
It really was, I don't know, it just made my heart heavy.
Yeah.
It just made my heart really heavy.
Does that depress you? You don't let that get you, do you? Excuse me.
I don't know. I like to think that, to be hopeful and say, okay, well, younger people are going to turn this around. But then, you know, I know people that are 18 that are like really into Trump. I'm like, what? And to me, it doesn't make sense. But then it does, because I go, okay, well, what are they doing here? If I can break it down, it helps me be less afraid. Like, who's profiting? You know, okay, follow the greed. That's why this is happening. Whose fears are they preying on? Right. That's why these people are buying into this, or that's why they're making this decision.
Right.
I can kind of break it down, and it helps to not overwhelm me as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think, I just hope that I think that younger people are going to be less affected by all this social media stuff, Facebook stuff. You know, I mean, it seems like kids in high school, maybe now, they're like,
I don't know,
they're not really on Facebook. It's not really their thing. And maybe they have, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
There is no answer. It's all just like everything. Our music business, the business of the world is just kind of like in this kind of like
limbo,
like weird floating.
Yeah.
Netherworld.
Right.
You know?
So, I know.
Yeah. Poof. We're having these weird silences.
I'm sorry. I know.
Okay. Jamie, people can find you at jamieharris.com. They need to get out there and listen to Red Rescue. Get it. You can find it at Waterloo, obviously. It's in other record stores in America?
Not yet.
Are you?
Just in Waterloo.
You're going to be playing some different shows between now and then?
Yeah.
Hey, you're singing with me tonight.
I'm singing with Donnie tonight. I don't know when this is going to come out, because Wednesday I'm doing the Western Youth thing. And then Monday, the 26th, I'm playing opening for Bonnie Whitmore. And we're doing Jamie.
I don't think this will be out for a couple weeks.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad. You know, you've had me on set. Thanks for having me on again.
Dude,
I'm
no
sorry
problem.
I'm so like bummed out about the world.
No, you're not bummed out about the world. I'm very happy for you and what you're doing. I'm just happy for you. I'm really glad to see like that you are doing the things that you have set out to do.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in this this phase where I'm processing it all and I'm going to reemerge stronger, you know, but now I'm just like, wow, I feel like all year I've had these experiences that have been the first, and it's made me think, set bigger goals and think about how I want to refine my artistry, and I'm excited about that. But now I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in limbo. Like, which branch am I going to reach for? Which way am I going to go?
You think you'll be going back to Europe again soon?
Yeah, I do.
Make some good connections.
I do, yeah. Good. And we'll also be in the UK. For the Americana Awards, UK Americana Awards, yeah. I'm playing a show in Glasgow, opening for Mary, and then Mary's part of the Americana Awards show. She's nominated for an award, and so we're gonna go sing. And
that's awesome.
You know,
yeah.
I'll stare awkwardly at John Prine from across the room and go, "Wow, that's John Prine," and then.
Yeah, that'll be intense.
America.
Maybe maybe you get to sing with him too.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I hope so. I'm looking forward to singing with you tonight. I'm looking forward to at least your. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
My family's coming to Austin. Actually,
no way.
Yeah, so we're gonna have Thanksgiving here all together.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where's Jane? Is she?
Jane's here. I'm sure you know her family's here. Actually, she might be in Menard right now. I think she's at the ranch writing.
Okay. Menard.
Menard.
That sounds like some relation to Einar.
He does.
Thank you so much for doing the show. I love you. Everyone get out
Thanks
there and check out Red Rescue. Amazing record. And check out jamieharris.com.
Thanks.
Love you. One of my favorite artists and people, Jamie Harris, her brand new album, Red Rescue, is out, available now. Anywhere that you stream and download music, or go to jamieharris.com to find out more that you need to know about the Jamie Harris. Amazing record, Red Rescue. Amazing job. Great job mixing it, Mark Hallman, if you're listening. Great job, Craig Ross. Great job, everyone. John Green, what a great musician. Brian Patterson, fabulous musician. Chris Nelson, Bonnie Whitmore, all great people. All right, get out there and check it out. Red Rescue, available on all the places where you stream and download music, along with How Did I Get Here? How Did I Get Here is available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, on Spotify. Say, for instance, you're checking out this podcast on Spotify. You can just jump over and listen to a Jamie Harris song we're talking about. Jump back into the podcast. You can do that. Subscribe. New show every Tuesday, every Friday. How Did I Get Here? Me talking to another musician. Let's hear some more music from Jamie Harris. From her beautiful album, Red Rescue, this is the song, Creatures. Let's get down. Be
tired. See, I have known better even from the start. Oh, but he's so appealing in the dark. Oh, isn't it strange? Isn't it strange how the night'll change you? And it's strange, isn't it strange how the night'll change you? Isn't it strange how the night'll change you?